are friends with fantasy benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Why don't we talk about Evan's favorite player, and that would be Justin Smoke.
Are you...
Whatever do you mean?
So disgusting.
We are friends with fantasy benefits.
He's going to hit like 395. That's the over-under.
That's it, 100-point LASIK jump.
Absolutely. I mean, that's just science right there.
We are friends with fantasy benefits.
Welcome into the Friends with Fantasy Benefits baseball podcast. I'm your host, Ben Prince, joined tonight by Evan Peterson. How are you doing, Evan?
I'm doing fantastic, Benjamin. How are you?
Doing well. You enjoying baseball season and everything? You ready for it?
Oh, just now that the Super Bowl's over, it's magically baseball season.
Exactly.
Like it wasn't for the last month.
Yeah, I mean, we did a team preview every day in January. I've been ready for baseball season. It doesn't matter that, football's exactly. Done and over with.
And we're also joined by Ray Kuhn, who coincidentally is the favorite person on the Kuhn and Friends podcast. So how are you doing, Ray?
I'm good. Just hanging out with you guys and talking some baseball.
And were you happy with the outcome of the Super Bowl, Ray?
I feel like it would have been happier if there was maybe just no game at all and I just got together with my friends, hung out, ate and drank for a few hours. But, I mean, at least it was a good game. A little surprising the city of Philadelphia didn't completely burn down and it appears to be still standing. But we'll see what happens after their parade on Thursday.
Yeah, I fully anticipate that it will actually burn down. So, I mean, there's a pretty good chance. I'm sure there's going to be bets on it.
Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, I think one bet that probably wasn't even on the board was, will the canopy of the Ritz-Carlton collapse? I don't think that was on the board.
And that was only the second greatest video I saw of people celebrating. The first involved horse poo.
Wait, you mean that's not edible?
Apparently not. So many cheesesteaks and you can put down anything, right?
Just put a little cheese whiz on it and you're good.
Absolutely.
Ray, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached on Twitter before we get started?
I am on Twitter at Ray_Kuhn_28.
And what about you, Evan?
Can be found at EvFWFB.
And I can be found at BBrandsFWFB. All right, guys. So today we're going to be talking about first base. And like we said, we're going to be doing our tiers continuing on from the segment that we had last week. So in the first tier, we all have Paul Goldschmidt. But both Ray and I also have Joey Votto. So, Evan, is there any reason that you don't have Joey Votto in your first tier?
It's not that I don't like Joey Votto. The reason I set Goldie apart is because he is a true five-category contributor across all five of the main Roto categories. Votto, he's only hit 30 home runs, I believe, twice in his career. Doesn't provide a ton of steals. But, I mean, his ratios are otherworldly, and I can see, expounding on our conversation we had at catcher about how much batting average and ratios are really worth when trading off home runs and or steals. I mean, I can understand why you have Votto that high. I just kind of group him in more together with the Freeman, Rizzo, Jose Abreu's of the world.
And what about you, Ray? What makes you put Joey Votto into that first tier?
And to me, obviously, if we're talking about non-base league, I think it goes without saying, I don't want to put words in Evan's mouth, but I'm thinking that maybe he would have Votto in the first tier with Goldie.
I would.
But regardless of that, the thing with Votto is you're going to get an average over 300. I think he hit like 36 homers or whatever it was last year. Even if you knock him down to a little more closer to 30 this year, for me, it's just that batting average that's a true asset that sets him apart of someone like Rizzo, who's going to struggle to get to 300. Freeman, I'm not sure that he's a 300 hitter, and Votto's going to go over 300. So to me, it's that extra bonus that you get in the batting average department while still getting a 300 guy in the power department that you kind of get to hit all those four out of the five categories there. You're getting the power, you're getting an asset in batting average, and you can kind of add on to power someone like a Chris Davis with K later on a few rounds after that and not have to worry as much about the batting average because you have Votto.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Joey Votto and Goldschmidt are just two solid foundation players that you can't ask for really anything else. Yeah, you'd like maybe more stolen bases out of Joey Votto considering what Paul Goldschmidt is able to bring to the table in that capacity. But at the same point in time, you know that you're going to be able to get a healthy player in Votto. I mean, he did have some injury scares a couple of years ago in which he just wasn't able to stay healthy every other year, it felt like, but he's been healthy, and I feel he's someone that you can rely on without having any issues at first base. You'll plug him in for the entire season, and if you're in an on-base percentage league, then he jumps up my ratings my rankings even higher.
But, I mean, do we really think Goldschmidt's going to steal 15 to 20 again?
I mean, he's done it back-to-back years. It wouldn't surprise me if he was able to put another 15 into the stat line. Would that surprise you, Evan?
Well, no. And, I mean, if the home runs kind of drop off a little bit for Goldie and he hits somewhere in, you know, kind of the 32 range, then you might see his steals go up because he's, you know, not, you know, rounding the bases and then going back to the dugout. So I think even if one category kind of falls for him, he's going to pick up in another.
Why don't we move into the second tier, where Evan has Joey Votto, Freddie Freeman, Anthony Rizzo, and Jose Abreu. I have Freddie Freeman, Rizzo, Cody Bellinger, and Edwin Encarnacion. And Ray has Freddie Freeman and Anthony Rizzo. So I'm obviously the highest of us on Edwin Encarnacion. Is there a reason that you're lower on him in terms of tiers, Ray? You have him in the fourth tier.
I think for me is first thing, the batting average. I'm not expecting anything more than a 260 batting average from Encarnacion, so it's going to be not necessarily a liability, but if I'm figuring my first three tiers is someone that I'm going to be taking probably by the end of the third round, most of these guys are all going to be off the board. To me, Encarnacion isn't necessarily a foundation piece in that sense, and I mean, yeah, the power, he's not necessarily showing signs of slowing down, but he's getting another year older. So I'm concerned maybe the health a little bit. Maybe he has a DL stint. Maybe we start to see a nagging injury bring down the power a little bit.
And do you have anything to add on Edwin Encarnacion there, Evan?
No, Ray hit on pretty much all the points. I think it's the batting average, because I think if you're kind of splitting these guys up, you're kind of dicing it down, because team context is going to vary a little bit, but a lot of these guys are going to be in the 180 to 190 run and RBI range that are going to hit. I think in this range, you want a guy that's going to be a solid lock for 30 and not kill your ratios. So that's why I have Encarnacion pushed down a little bit further than you do.
I mean, for me, I still really a big Edwin Encarnacion fan. There's not a lot that makes me think that he wouldn't be able to put up a similar season to what he put up last year. And he, of course, is very highly rated. I mean, this year he's going to actually have to play first base because Carlos Santana is gone. But I don't really think that that's going to affect him negatively. I don't think that will bring upon any injuries or anything like that. He's been pretty consistent in terms of games played and everything, and you know he's going to have close to 650 to 700 plate appearances. So, especially in an on-base percentage, he's still going to have a lot of value. Yeah, it would be nice to see him bring up that average, but at the same point in time, my number 7 ranked first baseman is Will Myers, and I'm just higher on Edwin Encarnacion than Will Myers, which is why I would rather put him in this tier, because I understand the consistency he's able to bring over someone like a Will Myers.
But the thing with Myers for me is that he's about 10 years younger. So they're on opposite trajectories in their career. I mean, in their prime, obviously, I think Encarnacion is a better player than Myers. But Myers is also going to give you 20 stolen bases. So if the batting average is going to be the same, all things equal, and if I'm thinking Encarnacion drops a little bit in the power department, and we're looking at pretty close to the same home run, same batting average, and I'm going to get 20 steals from Myers, that makes a big difference to me, especially getting it from a non-traditional steal position.
Do you have anything to add on Will Myers, Evan?
Yeah, it's the trade-off of the ratios, and that you got to figure out what it's worth to you. I mean, I'm down with getting a 20 steal guy, and I don't think the home run trade-off is going to be huge for Myers. If he hits, 28 home runs, and Encarnacion hits 36, I'm not really going to care about that disparity if I'm getting the add-on of the stolen bases. And, I mean, the batting average is kind of going to tank me anyways. I think there's a little more upside than the 243 that he hit last year. Yeah. But you can't expect him to hit, 270 out of nowhere.
No, I'm thinking more in, the 255, 260 range.
Which is what Encarnacion could definitely pass for a batting average, too.
Exactly. That's can be the stolen bases, then. It can be the upside.
Why don't we talk about Evan's favorite player, and that would be Justin Smoke.
Are you?
Whatever do you mean?
So disgusting.
Let's talk about Freddie Freeman, Evan. I'll let you start with this.
I love MV Free, even though I've kind of gotten this reputation for hating on him. Maybe it's because I, said that he wasn't going to go nuts and hit 35 home runs last year. And, I said I didn't think he was going to hit 30, which he definitely would have if he wouldn't have gotten hurt. If you want to slap an injury-prone tag on Freeman, I definitely get it. If you want to say the lineup around him could potentially be bad, even though everybody is so hyped on Ozzie Albies, and I'm higher on Ender and Ciarte than probably the rest of the industry. I get it, but he's going to give you, once again, solid ratios, probably a lock to hit, low 30s home runs if he stays somewhat healthy and plays 135 games, chipping a handful of steals. But I think there's more fluctuation in the counting categories, so I would take him behind, an Anthony Rizzo. Personally, I don't know how you guys would feel about that little player matchup.
For Freeman Rizzo?
Yep.
Currently, I've been kind of tossing this around for much of the winter, and as of now, I have Freeman 3, Rizzo 4, to tell you the truth. And looking at it, I think Freeman is recovered from the wrist injury, so I think the power is going to be fine. I like the batting average a little bit more from Freeman. I like the power a little bit more. I still think Rizzo is going to end up with more RBIs because he's in a better lineup, and you have to be a little concerned with Freeman getting pitches to hit. But last season, that didn't appear to be an issue for him. So, it's really flip a coin, but I got Freeman by a hair.
I have Freddie Freeman above Anthony Rizzo just because, he gave you such great production considering he only played 117 games compared to Anthony Rizzo's 157. But there's just a lot more that I can see with Freddie Freeman being able to do. I feel he could still hit 30-plus home runs. I feel that if he's able to stay healthy for an entire year, he could still challenge 100 RBIs. He could still have maybe 10 to 15 stolen bases, given the speed that he does have. And yeah, I understand that Anthony Rizzo does have 10 stolen bases, has more than 100 RBIs, still hits 30-plus home runs. But at the same point in time, there's still a 30-point difference in average, and I wouldn't be surprised if Anthony Rizzo had a 255, 265 average, and Freddie Freeman had a 310 average. There was a big discrepancy there, and I feel that the stats could be pretty similar if Freddie Freeman's able to stay healthy for the entire year. So,
well, and he also had LASIK eye surgery this offseason, so obviously he's going to hit 395. That's the over-under.
That's it, a 100-point LASIK jump.
Absolutely. I mean, that's just science right there.
Science is your friend, isn't it, Evan?
Something like that.
Is there anyone else in this tier that you guys want to talk about? Evan, do you want to discuss why you have Abreu up in this tier?
I think he's you want a consistent guy up in this range. I think that's what Jose Abreu is going to give you. I think, who was that? Sammy? I'm trying to remember on Twitter, who had put out, one of those stat tweets saying Abreu was he was the only guy who had 100 RBIs in each of the last four seasons. He's as solid of a guy to hit 300 300 or hit 30 home runs as, you know, anybody in the game. And I think that if he's going to be pushed down into the, you know, ADP range of 45, I'm going to be getting him. I mean, even if I go ahead and I grab a second round first baseman, I just think Abreu is going to give you such solid production that there's no reason not to go back to the well.
Oh, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Abreu a lot. He's super consistent. But, I mean, really, at this point, what you see from him is what you're going to get. I mean, it's really just 290 to 300 batting average, 30 and 100. But that's it. There's no – trust me, I'll take that as a floor, but there's also no real upside. And Freeman Rizzo, the guys they have in tier two ahead of them, to me, just have more upside. I mean, part of it is the age. But part of it is just that Abreu hasn't really strayed from this. Like, we haven't seen flashes that he can do better than this, but at the same time, we haven't seen flashes that he can do worse than this or that we should expect worse than this. So, I mean, yeah, he's definitely a very safe third-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, I like the consistent floor with him, but I'm not sure if there's a huge difference, like Ray was saying, between the floor and the ceiling. And if I'm going to take someone as my first baseman, I either want someone who's going to have a really, really high floor, which I think everyone above him has, or someone who still has a pretty good ceiling. If I wanted someone who was consistent because of how I was building my roster, and if I knew that I was going to go with a little higher upside guys that may have lower floors, that's in the next couple picks, or what I was hoping were the next couple picks, I would try to go with someone like a Jose Abreu who I could have that consistent, you know, 30 and 100 and a 300 average, because you know you're going to keep getting that. Even if he starts off poor, he's going to finish strong. If he starts off strong, he's probably going to cool off a little bit, but he's always consistent throughout the entire year of having around those stats. It just depends on what type of draft you're trying to go through. That's how I would determine if I wanted to take him.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
If you like betting, I have a deal for you. Eli Rosenfeld of Vertex Betting is one of the best in the business, and unlike many betting information sites, he gives away all of his info for free. There is no risk, no signups, no money needed to get the best betting insight in the business. Go check out vertexbetting.com and see why it beats all of the other sites out there. And if you want to try out betting for the first time, click on the Bet Now link and sign up for MyBookie /or XBet with the $45 deposit, and you will get a $50 rebate from Vertex Betting. Just tell Eli from Vertex that FWFB or Justin Mason sent you for a $50 rebate on the $45 deposit.
While we move into the next tier, which is Tier 3, Ray has Cody Bellinger and Jose Abreu. I myself have Jose Abreu, Will Myers, Eric Hosmer, and Rhys Hoskins. And Evan has Cody Bellinger, Edwin Encarnacion, Rhys Hoskins. So, Ray, are you a Hoskins fan, or do you think you need to see more from him before you can move him up into a third quote-unquote tier?
I need to see more from Hoskins. I'm not – I mean, I've seen the case made a few times. I kind of get it to a point of people putting Hoskins and Bellinger kind of in the same sentence. To me, I need to see more. I don't think Hoskins is there yet. Hoskins, I mean, obviously you can't deny that stretch that he had was absolutely ridiculous. He showed legit power in the minor league, so we know the power is real. But, like, he kind of came up, and it was ho-hum for a little while. Then he went on that unbelievable stretch, and then they moved him to left field in September. And then he kind of petered off. I mean, I get it. It's a long season. First year in the major leagues. You're going to have an adjustment, play a lot of games. But, I mean, if you watch him out in left field, he did not look comfortably defensively. I mean, again, they're committed to playing Hoskins, but they also have Carlos Santana at first. So unless they do something else, Hoskins is your left fielder. Now, you're not going to get dinged from a fantasy perspective on Hoskins and his poor defense. But if he has to spend more time on his defense, if he takes it up to the plate with him, if it gets in his head, I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned about the batting average from Hoskins. You know, I mean, he did have a 241 BABIP last year, so we could even expect to see a little improvement on the batting average, so I'm not going to kill him on that. He does walk. Strikeouts aren't terrible, all things considered, but, I mean, for me, it's really just I want to see more.
And what are your thoughts, Evan, on Rhys Hoskins?
On Hoskins, I mean, I think you're talking about putting him in the same breath as Bellinger. And I mean, I get it as a young guy that a lot of people are kind of projecting in that 35 home run range. I was trying to take a look at, this always happens when I start looking at things, as far as how bad Rhys Hoskins was against left-handed pitching in the minors, which it didn't look like he was too bad. He was about like a 265 hitter from a lot of stuff that I'm looking at. Actually had a couple stops where he hit really well. He was really bad against them batting average wise. Once he got to the majors, it was a 171, but he still popped 6 home runs off of them. So I'm kind of interested to see where it goes with that. As far as Cody Bellinger, I think there's more room for his ratios to grow. If he can kind of cut down on some of the swinging strike percentage stuff. I think he's just a better like fundamental hitter than Hoskins personally. And, I mean, I'd be way more apt to draft Bellinger because I think there is more of an inherent risk in Hoskins, personally.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I'm a big Hoskins fan just because I pay attention to him through the minors. I like the power that he was able to bring. I like the fact that he has made adjustments at the different levels, and I think that he could be someone who can still hit for a decent average. I wouldn't be surprised if he hit like a 275, 280 average this year. I can expect him to hit maybe 25 home runs, 80 RBIs, and 80 runs. And that's as, you know, as a floor. And I think that's consistent. And I understand that I still have to see more from him. But I think that he's someone who has a high ceiling and that would make me want to at least take the chance if I was able to solidify some other players around him on my lineup that I was able to get with higher floors that may have lower ceilings. Evan, what are your thoughts on a Cody Bellinger? Because he's obviously someone who's got a lot of power, but you know, do you expect him to be able to continue and to potentially lead the National League in home runs this year?
I mean, I think he's kind of projected to do that. I think FanGraphs, I was looking at their ADP data, and if you sort by their projections, he's the only other first baseman aside from Joey Gallo that is projected to hit over 40 home runs. Encarnacion at 39, Hoskins at 37, if you're kind of keeping track there. Justin Smoke at 34, which is really stupid. But anyways, yeah, I already kind of gave my thoughts on Bellinger. I think, Ray, I'm really interested where you land on Bellinger.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I have Bellinger the tier ahead. I'm not expecting much more than like a 270, 275 batting average from Bellinger. But, and I mean, he's going to steal 10 to 15 bases, which is a nice bonus. I know we touched on it before with Myers. So, I mean, as far as first baseman go that steal bases, he's probably the third and the last guy we're going to talk about. So, but, I mean, for me, really, it comes down to his power. His power is ridiculous. I mean, I think he had a 315 ISO last year. He still has some improving to do. He's still not a finished product at the plate. Strikes out too much. He needs to walk more. Make better contact, but that power, I mean, the power is just real tool. I think it'll be nice for him that he's just playing at first base next year, that he doesn't have to worry about bouncing back between first base and the outfield. He has a role going into the season. He's not going down to the minor leagues at first. So, I mean, to me, really, it's he showed me for a full major league season. I think he has a higher pedigree than Hoskins to begin with. And I think his power is just a little bit better as far as the hit tool. The fact that Hoskins didn't really hit when he played left field scares me a little bit. And I'm excited to see what Bellinger can do. I mean, remember, he's still just 22 years old.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things that make me, quote-unquote, a little worried about him. Obviously, his 26.6% strikeout rate, I'd like to see that get cut down at least a little bit this year, just so I can see that he's making improvements. I mean, outside of Joey Gallo, there's not a lot of other players that you really expect to have higher than a 22% strikeout rate that you can really, really be happy with, and especially a young player with that who has a lot of power, and he can sometimes get a little strikeout heavy. The other thing is I want to see what happens when his ISO comes down. I mean, last year he had a 315 ISO. If that drops down to, to 250, 260, I want to see what he's able to still bring to the table. Is he going to still be able to get runs batted in? Is he still going to be able to make good contact and everything? I want to see how he makes his developments as he's going to be playing first base only. Like Ray was saying, he doesn't have to worry about anything. I want to see how he's able to put it all together in a good sophomore season. He's someone who I rank high, but I'm probably not going to be in on a lot in draft tables. What about someone like Eric Hosmer, who has yet to sign? How do you rank someone like that, Ray? Because obviously he's someone who has talent, but we don't know where he's going to end up.
I mean, I'm just going to assume, for purposes of conversation, that it's either going to be Kansas City or San Diego for Hosmer. And I mean, I think for whatever reason, he's trying to get to that eighth year. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, if he goes to San Diego, he'll take a little bit of a hit, part factor, but not much. I mean, my main thing with Hosmer that I'm not necessarily concerned about where he signs, that I know he's going to bat in the middle of the order wherever he signs. And he's not someone that's a 30 home run hitter, so I'm not necessarily concerned about him from a park standpoint, because to me, he's more of a 25-ish home run guy. Maybe it drops down closer to 20 if he does go to somewhere like San Diego. But to me, I like Hosmer. He's a nice hitter, but I just wish the power would develop. And I think if you take Hosmer and if you take him where he's going, kind of in this grouping that we're talking about, you're going to have to make up 10 to 15 home runs somewhere else, and that's not necessarily something that I'm looking to do. So regardless of the fact that he's on sign, he's still someone that I'm – not that I'm against taking, but I'm kind of avoiding, and I'm not going to seek him out.
What about you, Evan?
Yeah, it's really kind of weird if you take a look at like his ground ball to fly ball mix. He's a career 53% ground ball hitter. So when Ray was definitely talking about being closer to 20 than 25, I'm on board with all of that. It's a fluctuation then, as far as his batting average is concerned. And I think that's kind of what you're banking on, after you think about the home runs. And then obviously, based on where he signs, I know a lot of people are, starting to hype up like Manny Margot, and this is about the time of year where everybody gets hyped on the Padres because they're doing the research and blah, blah, blah. I just think that I'm not going to be in on Hosmer. I think there's other values that I would rather go for, not regardless of where he signs, but mostly regardless of where he signs, especially if it's between these two teams.
Yeah, for me, I'm personally not even sure where I want him to sign at this point, because I don't think I'm going to be in on him really anyway, because if he goes back to the Royals, there's just really no one else in that lineup outside of Sal Perez, Whit Merrifield, and Whit Merrifield's going to be hitting ahead of him. And if last year was kind of a flash in the pan for Merrifield, then they're going to have a really, really tough offensive season. And I can't imagine Hosmer having a fantastic offensive season as a result. And if he goes to San Diego, I'm not really sure how I feel about him there. In regards to his stats, I mean, yeah, I guess I could expect him to hit 20 to 25 home runs with 90 RBIs. And if he hit 310, I'd be happy with that. But at the same point in time, he's someone who I'm probably going to avoid just for the fact that there's not a lot in his skill set that makes me want to go after a player like that, and there's not a lot that makes me think that he's going to have, a 32, 33 home run season with 100 RBIs while still being able to maintain that average. Just not sure if that's in his bat, and there's other people in that same tier that I could either grab earlier that I feel more consistent in terms of stats, that I'll be able to get that consistency, or I could grab someone a little bit later that I think could have a very similar skill set and a similar floor or at the end of the season. So,
the one interesting thing I did see on him is he does hit a lot of like opposite field shots, which is kind of, you know, interesting. He's not really like a pull hitter. He was the fourth highest in opposite field shots with 12 last year, behind Domingo Santana, Aaron Judge, and J.D. Martinez.
That's interesting, but I mean, for me, it's really just those ground balls kill me.
Well, yeah, absolutely, but I, you know, being that, you know, I was really kind of distracted by the ground balls, and then I saw that, it's just kind of a fun little thing to point out.
Let's move into the next tier, where I have Carlos Santana, Ian Desmond, and Matt Carpenter. Ray has Edwin Encarnacion, Rhys Hoskins, Will Myers, and Eric Hosmer. And Evan has Will Myers, Eric Hosmer, Miguel Cabrera. So, Ray, you also have Miguel Cabrera in that fourth tier. What makes you want to have him higher than have him that high? And do you expect him to be able to bounce back after last year?
Well, I mean, come on, Miggy's in the best shape of his life, or
everyone's
whatever.
In the best shape of their life. Even Evan is in the best shape of his life.
I mean, whatever hyperbole you want to use, Miggy's ready. Miggy's training. The videos are out there. So, I mean, I'm pumped. But, I mean, all kidding aside, he's 35 now. He's not the player that he was a few years ago. You have to draft him as such. You have to be concerned. He had a down year last year. He had the back injuries. But, I mean, let's assume that he's healthy. He looks healthy. You still have to factor in a DL stint for him, I think, no matter what. But the hard contact rate was still elite last year. The power metrics show that we still have some reason for optimism left. I mean, the ISO did drop, so we have to keep an eye on that. So we're kind of getting some mixed messages. He's, regardless of anything, he's still a hell of a hitter, and he still has that ability to put the bat on the ball, and he's going to probably run into 25 homers without really too much of an issue if he can keep the DL stints to a minimum. So, I mean, to me, Mickey's kind of that last guy that is like, all right, he's the veteran. You're going to get a solid batting average. You're going to get the power, some power. And he has a track record, and you can kind of know what to expect from him. So that's kind of how he ended up in this tier, because to me, this is kind of my drop-off to say, all right, now I'm looking more at first base in a deeper league or more of a corner option.
What about you, Evan? What are your thoughts on Miguel Cabrera?
I don't think he was pulling the ball very well last year, and I think, like Ray was saying, there's definitely room as far as like his hard hit percentage and other things to come up. I think at the price you're going to get him at, I mean, he's not gonna hit 250. I'm sorry, he never hit under what, 292 is the lowest I see since he started playing triple digit seasons back in 2004. Okay, he's old. Like Justin Mason likes to say, back stuff doesn't usually just get better. It usually tends to get worse. And I think the Tigers lineup is kind of meh. But I think at the price of admission, to see what Miggy can do for your team, I think I kind of have to take that chance.
I mean, I totally understand where you guys are coming from. And it wouldn't surprise me if Cabrera had a good season. I have him lower in my rings just for the fact that it's like Evan was saying, back injuries can get worse. They're not going to necessarily get better. And he is older. Yeah, it's Miguel Cabrera. And if there was someone who is going to have a great bounce back season, it would be him, and you could get a great buy low option. But at the same point in time, if he isn't healthy and he doesn't have a good start to the season, then I'm not really willing to take him higher than a corner infielder for my team or a backup bench guy. I can't put him that high, only for the fact that he could easily burn you just as easily as he could help you out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that I'm going to draft him, but if it's at the point where I want a starting first baseman, I'm still going to feel more comfortable with him over Justin Smoke. I have him higher than Carpenter. It's not like Carpenter is a picture of health either, and he has his own questions. Desmond had health issues last year, and then you really start to get into either somebody's missing in a category or has question, hasn't really done it. And the thing with Cabrera is that you know that at the very least he's going to drive in runs and get you a good average. So, I mean, yeah, he's not the same player he once was. The back has to be in the back of your mind, but I still think he's a solid option.
Why don't we move into the next tier, which has Evan's second favorite player, and that is Justin Smoke. But we all have Justin Smoke in our fifth tier. Evan also has a Carlos Santana, Ryan Zimmerman, Matt Carpenter, and Matt Olson and Joey Gallo. I have Miguel Cabrera, Justin Smoke, Ryan Zimmerman, and Matt Olson. And Ray has Justin Smoke, Carlos Santana, Ryan Zimmerman, Matt Carpenter, and Ian Desmond, Justin Bour, Yuli Gurriel, and all three of us have Travis Shaw, even though we don't really expect him to play first base and we probably wouldn't use him as first baseman. But let's talk a little bit about Ian Desmond. We all have him in a different tier. Evan, is there a reason that you're not overly high on Ian Desmond, who has the capability of being a 2020 guy?
I mean, he's got the capability of being a 2020 guy. That's his profile from the past. Obviously, being in Coors doesn't hurt him. It's just kind of the injury stuff. And, you know, if he does start to kind of taper off in the batting average that he's shown to actually, you know, be a benefit for him, you know, when he went to the Rangers last year. I mean, if it kind of slides back to the, you know, 240 range for him, 250 range, and the power is somewhere in the mid-teens, I don't know how much he's going to steal either. That's kind of another thing if you're talking about trading off statistics for him. So I think there's just a lot of landmines as far as Ian Desmond's concerned, and that's why he's got to be pushed down as far as he is.
And for me with Desmond, I mean, yeah, he's first base eligible, obviously, and he could very well see time there, but I don't think of him as a first baseman. I mean, obviously, it doesn't impact where you play him fantasy-wise, but it's very possible that he's going to lead the position in stolen bases. Last year, he had the hand injury, so he didn't get off to a good start in Colorado. So I think that kind of held him back all year, and it was at least an issue as far as keeping his power down. So I think maybe if the ISO bounces back, power picks up, the hand is healthy, maybe he'll get the benefit of Coors Field. It'll be his second year there. He's going to go into spring training, hopefully knock on wood, stay healthy, and enter the season with maybe a more defined role than he had last year as well. I mean, 2020 upside, decent enough batting average. I think, you know, you got to get your stolen bases any way you can as well. So I think that kind of should put him onto your radar.
Yeah, for me, he's a borderline first baseman in terms of, depending on the league, I could take him in a standard league. I could potentially take him in a deeper league. He's going to be a borderline corner infielder / first baseman for me. If he's able to stay healthy, I think that he's going to be able to have a good enough average playing in Coors Field, where the average is helped there more than anywhere else. And I think that he's still capable of getting you 20 steals if he's able to stay healthy the entire year. and with the power that he brings to the table, I think he's a pretty good player to roll the dice on. But it really just depends on how he looks to start the year, and if he's able to, you know, play well during spring training, I'd be a little more confident, just because my confidence has wavered on him because of the injuries and because of how he's played over the last couple of years and him jumping from the outfield to first base and everything. So I kind of want to see how he's going to be able to react to everything as he comes into this season as a full-time first baseman.
I mean, in all fairness, if we're going to, you know, kind of piss on Hosmer for having, you know, ground ball issues, Ian Desmond's kind of shown to be trending in the way of having those same issues himself.
You know, I can't disagree with that either. I mean, that's why I have him further down, but it's more the stolen bases with the 2020 that have him in this tier for me.
What about a player like Justin Smoke, who obviously we all don't really know what's going to be able to happen from last year to this year? Do we expect this type of power resurgence to actually be something in the sixth round for Justin Smoke?
So I had posted in the staff chat, I don't know how much you guys buy into this, but Justin Smoke actually led the league in ninth inning home runs last year with 10, and I think the next highest was like 6. So you look at his power production of last year, which was at 38, an obvious outlier for kind of what he'd done before. I wonder if you think that that's just a random blip or anything that you have to worry about, like, he wasn't hitting them off of like ace caliber pitchers. He was hitting them off of relievers. I don't know. I thought it was kind of a crazy thing. I also think a crazy thing is his batting average against lefties last year, which was definitely out of line from what he had shown previously in his career. So I think a little kind of regression either way. I definitely don't see him as like a, you know, 35 home run type. And obviously, you know, Steamer has him closer down to 30. I'd even take the under on a number like that. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, I mean, for me, he's definitely a 30 home run guy. I'm not sure how much over 30. He did improve his contact last year. Still below average. Batting average is never going to be an asset. But, I mean, the power is real. He was a top prospect at one point. So it's not like this guy really came out of nowhere. It obviously took him forever to put it together. He had some bad luck at the end of the year, so that could partly be attributed to his struggles. I mean, to me, he's a corner infielder, and that's it. You're going to get 30 home runs. You'll get some RBIs to go with it, whatever you get for the average you get. So, I mean, I think I buy into most of what we saw last year.
For me, I'm not really sure what I want to expect from Justin Smoke. I'd like to believe that he made the changes that are necessary for him to be able to still hit 25 to 30 home runs. And I think that he still has a good strikeout rate to go with his walk rate. I'm just not sure exactly what he's going to be able to do if they do lose some of their other line of protection. You know, if Josh Donaldson gets traded during the year, is Justin Smoke going to be able to still do that? Jose Bautista wasn't a great player last year, but he still afforded them some line of protection. I'm not sure if the players around Justin Smoke are going to be able to help him. And considering he hit 38 home runs last year, he still only had 90 RBIs. So can I really expect him to be able to put up another 90 RBI season if he only hits 25 to 30 home runs? It's a little debatable. So someone like Justin Smoke, I may roll the dice on him if he falls, but I'd rather let someone else have him and him not replicate a season like last year than me to get caught, you know, holding the bag out in the rain.
You know, I hear you. I mean, it sounds weird, but like, there's a difference between obviously how I do the rankings and then how I'm going to plan my draft as well. Like, if I'm going to do an either or, obviously I'd rather Smoke than the guys that I have ranked beneath Smoke. But as far as planning out my draft strategy, Smoke isn't going to be somebody that I'm going to clearly target.
Well, no, because, I mean, it's kind of like you think of players in ranges of drafts. And so, like, comparing him to a guy that I'm sure we're going to hit on in Matt Olson, because he's in this tier for most of us, like, I would rather want to see what Olson could possibly do over a full season, given what I saw last year, as opposed to betting on Justin Smoke keeping up what he did last year, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it does, but I mean, I still have Smoke ranked higher.
But I mean, I think I would rather draft Olsen. You're saying you'd rather draft Smoke? Because you said...
I'd rather draft Olsen as well, but I have, okay. Even though I have Smoke ranked higher. Because, I mean, it also comes down into the ADPs and the price it's going to cost you for each one.
Gotcha. Okay.
Why don't we jump into a little Matt Olsen talk. What are your projections for him this year, right?
And for Olsen, I think the batting average is going to be a concern, and I think it's more of a concern for him than it is going to be for Smoke. But, I mean, Olsen has clear 30 home run power. I mean, it's pretty much the fly balls, home runs, and that's really going to be, and that's really about it for him. I mean, if he can make some strides as far as his contact and even just get the ball down a little bit, bring the average up to 250, 260, I think we'll see him shoot up by a few tiers for next year. But for me, it's more of, you know, what can he do? I like his power potential obviously more than Smoke's, but I'm not necessarily fully on board with Olsen because I think the batting average could be a liability, and Oakland has so many different options. I mean, they did trade Healy to make a little bit of room at the corners, but I mean, they just have so many people, and I feel like they're all going to be kind of interchangeable, and they're going to have a quick trigger.
What about you, Evan? What are your thoughts on Olsen?
I was taking a look at the Fantrax ADP data. I mean, we were talking about the difference between Olsen and Smoke. Olsen's actually going 9 picks higher. So, I mean, I don't know where most people fall on that. As far as Matt Olsen's concerned, you talked on, you know, the fly ball revolution. That's, you know, the angle of the league right now is definitely in Matt Olsen's favor. And I just think there's a lot of, like, weird stuff when you take a look at what he did in 2017 and what the projection systems are spitting out for him. So he hit 259 on a 238 BABIP last year. The projection systems have him pegged at around a 235 batting average on a 267 BABIP, which I find kind of weird, even though they do project him to, you know, go up in home runs around the 30 home run area. So I think if the balls are leaving the home run or leaving the park at that rate, I don't understand why we're pegging him at a 235 average. But I mean, it's kind of one of those things, like we talked about Eric Thames last year. There's a lot, you know, more smart math that goes into these projection systems than sometimes I understand at first glance. But that's just something that doesn't seem to really click for me right now.
I mean, that park is also huge. So a lot of those fly balls are going to get hung up there too.
Right. But I mean, even last year, so he hit 290 at home and he hit 230 on the road, dead split 12 and 12 as far as the home runs are concerned. I mean, that could just be random, but
yeah, I mean, it's also a small sample size too.
Yeah, absolutely. 100 plate appearances at both. So,
but I mean, given that ADP that I did, I think I'm going to change my answer and I would end up drafting Smoke over Olsen.
Evan, is there any other players that you want to talk about before we wrap this up?
Carlos Santana in Philadelphia. I'm pretty interested in him this year. I don't know how you guys feel. I think kind of the slight bump in batting average is here to stay, and I'm definitely in because I think people are still kind of sleeping on Santana, which seems weird to say.
You know, I buy that as a corner infield option. I think he's a solid guy.
Yeah, I'm a big Santana fan this year. I really think that he's going to have a pretty solid season, especially because Philadelphia is a team that has players that are up and coming and has some talent in that lineup for him to be able to do some damage. So I'm looking forward to him. What about you, Ray? Is there any players you want to talk about?
As far as sleeper first baseman, I like Greg Bird a lot this year. I mean, for me, he really just needs to stay healthy. But if he does manage to stay healthy, he's a lefty in Yankee Stadium. He has Stanton now in that lineup with Judge, with Sanchez. So I think there's going to be plenty of pitches to hit, plenty of RBI opportunities, and he's shown some real power. So it's really just going to be, can he stay healthy and in the lineup? And if he does, I think 30, 35 homers with 80 to 90 RBIs is very possible.
Did you have anything to add on Greg Bird, Evan?
I mean, me and you did the Yankees podcast, so I kind of already know where you stand as far as Greg Bird is concerned. I know the projection systems are kind of all over the map on him. I think I was a little bit higher on Bird than you, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
For me, my sleeper is Justin Bour. I think that he's got a lot of power in his bat if he's able to stay healthy, and I think that he's not going to be a total batting average drain for you. The problem is the lineup around him is now absolutely dreadful. So I'm kind of hopeful that he gets traded somewhere because he would be good first baseman on a lot of teams, and he's young enough and he's got a lot of power in that bat. He just needs to stay healthy. The likelihood he gets moved, though, is extremely slim because of the contract that he's on. So
yeah, for me, he has to get traded or else he's not on my list. But did they not dismantle, then yeah. Or he gets traded, then yeah, I agree with you.
Even then, I mean, coming into last year, he was a guy that was deemed absolutely unplayable against lefties. And yeah, he went out and he hit 6 home runs against left-handed pitching. But, I mean, if those gains slide back any, that's just absolutely hands-off on Bour for me.
Evan, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what you're working on?
I can be reached at FWFB. I'm working on the next great plan to annoy you. I'm working on my strategy for the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational, which leagues went out today. I was super excited. Thank you, Justin Mason, for putting this all together. I can't wait to kick ass and take names. And yeah, just stay tuned. Leave us a rate and review on iTunes.
You're going to finish dead last, Evan. I hope you know that.
I will. I mean, I'm in a draft with a lot of smart guys. Scott White, Bobby Sylvester, Gary and Thorne. I'm super excited about my league.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's excited. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see how quickly Ben gets blocked by the other owners in his league as he tries to send trade offers.
I don't get blocked by people. Come on. Let's be real here. They just ignore me.
Or they just trade with you to shut up.
Good strategy. Good strategy.
It's a good strategy if it works.
No, a good strategy to ignore you. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Shut up, Evan. You like annoying me.
You're not wrong.
Ray, what about you? What are you working on?
I am, like Evan, getting ready for the Invitational, just getting ready for the season, getting through the positions, doing our weekly podcasts, and... yeah, that's about it.
And you can be reached at?
Ray_Kuhn_28 on Twitter.
And I can be reached at BBrandsFWFB. I am currently getting ready for the Invitational for my league. I'm really excited. You know, I like the group that I'm in. I'm excited to go against, you know, Matt Smata and, you know, like Jason Collette and a couple other people. I can also be found twice a week on the Friends with Fantasy Benefits basketball podcast with Eric Mackey. And, you know, we're churning out a lot of good episodes with that, you know, injury news and NBA trade deadline stuff as a deadline comes up. And I wanted to give a special shout out to one of our newer employees, Michael Alexander, who can be reached on Twitter at @Roto_1, WAN, if you want to give him a follow, just so he can feel the love from the Friends of Fantasy Benefits community. I'm sure he would appreciate that. So, from the rest of us at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, have a great baseball offseason, everyone.